Blog Talk Radio.
Jordan's jumping, he's really jumping. If he moves on his toes, I mean the Jordan's jumping. Uh-oh, no time for talking. This place is walking, yeah. Get the jug and cut the rug. I said the Jordan's jumping. Listen, get your pig feet bare and gin. There's plenty in the kitchen. Who is that that just came in? Just look at the way he's switching. Oh, baby. Don't mind the hour. I'm in power. I got bail if we go to jail. I said the Jordan's jumping. Don't give your right name. No, no, no.
Hi, boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party, the Spirit of America Party book, and the Spirit of America Party radio show. Brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. I'd like to open this segment with a blues song, and I'd like to dedicate it to Al Gore. I got the global warming blues. I got the right to feel low down. I got the right to hang around near that melted glacier. Al Gore's been to my hometown, dragging dead polar bears around. All I see for me is high humidity. I got the global warming blues. Did you like that? I thought you'd like that. It's 28 degrees tonight in New York City. I just threw my Greenpeace brother out the door with no clothes on. I'm going to give him 10 minutes to change his mind about global warming. And then I'll watch the second frost form on his body. Being that the politicians are worse than pirates. I mean, at least pirates leave some booty for the crew. These guys are filling their pockets faster. They're paying off their friends faster than you can pay those taxes. And never forget that the government gets net-net. You have to live off of gross-gross. Yeah, if you're paying 40% in taxes, the government is netting 40%. Out of your 60% that's left, you probably have 50% in overhead costs, and if you're lucky, you'll save 10%. So the government nets a 40%, you net 10%. Who's working for who? Do you think they're protecting you when you get on an airplane? You know what? It's time to dedicate a song to all the politicians that won't be here in 2010. And the name of the song is The Squanderer. Well, I'm the politician who tore up all your votes. We didn't show for meetings, only wave from champagne floats. I voted for the health care because I know what's good for you. I voted for the maximum security health care prison in Illinois for a guy named Abu. I'm the squanderer. Yes, the squanderer. I turned over your Jersey tax money to Mary Landeru. We're paying off the Senate with grants and gifts galore. We're keeping all the crooks that you left to mine the store. We got Frank Dodd and Levin, I can't read it, it went blank. We are the squanderers, we are the squanderers. Give us more and more and more and more and more. Get ready to face the facts. We consider your paycheck a windfall profits tax. We're the squanderers, we're the squanderers. And we want more and more and more and more and more. Hey, have you looked at a map of where those Muslim pirates are hijacking all the oil tankers? Do you guess where they are? They're right off the Yemeni coast. Isn't Yemen one of those countries that's the new training camp for Al Qaeda? So those pirates—they're all Muslims too. They're Muslim pirates. Yeah, but they don't call them Muslim pirates, but I do. I'm using the M word from now on. If you're a terrorist and you are a religious terrorist, you're a Muslim. And everybody's drilling for oil but Obama. The Chinese just bought a 4,200-meter oil drilling rig so that they can side drill from Cuba into Florida. But we're not going to drill in Florida because we want to save the manatee, which, by the way, is better than shark fin soup. I wonder if the Chinese will have fishing boats also. You see that the NBC is going after the Ku Klux Klan. They're going after the real terrorists. And don't forget that that major Muslim who showed for work in his country's dress code and gunned down 30 U.S. Americans, that major Muslim, what was his name? Major Muslim Hassan. Yeah. Don't let anybody tell you that he was an American. No, he was a major Muslim. And the only way we're going to defeat these Muslims is to convert them to Christianity. So get your Bibles out, everybody. The Holy Bible. Put it on the dash of your taxi cab. How come the women's movement, the communist women's movement, never that loved to burn their bras and never convinced a Muslim woman to burn her burqa? How come there's no crusade to burn the burqa?
Welcome to the Chase Mahatma. Hey, how's it going? How you doing? That's a typical New York greeting. How you doing? As a matter of fact, you know what? When they dropped that 500-pound bomb on Zarqawi in Iraq, and he had a few minutes of a life left on a stretcher, the first American he saw leaned over and said, "Hey, how you doing?"
Yeah.
You know what? The luckiest people, they got a beautiful Christmas present. They got to live the rest of their lives from Christmas on. And those were the people that were on that plane. What was it, 290 of them? The stewardesses, the pilots, everybody. They got to survive an attempted bombing. You know what the odds are of surviving an explosion like that? You know how many terrorists have walked into pizza parlors and base camps? As a matter of fact, in Afghanistan, 8 GIs are dead tonight. And the press is covering it up. They're glossing it over. NBC is doing a witch hunt in the Southland looking for the greatest threat to America since Robert E. Lee. Yeah, they're looking for the Ku Klux Klan. You know what? This government keeps it up, I'll be joining the Klan. I'll be the head Catholic.
Yeah, give me a break.
You know, we got a problem, and it begins with an M, and it ends with an M. And it stands for Muslim. Yeah, don't be afraid to say it, Sonny. Don't be afraid to say it. It's the Muslims. Well, they're good Muslims, and their religion has been hijacked. Yeah, they've been hijacked by 15 Saudis on four planes. 15 Saudis. I think one was an Iraqi. And, of course, you know, when they hit the World Trade Center, the first thing that the Democrats, the party of death, to little children and elderly, the party of death I wanted to know was, what did Bush know, and when did he know it? And now nobody dares ask, what did Obama know and when did he know it? Hillary Clinton, I remember her screaming out. Oh, by the way, in the polls, she's up there. That's what they're going to do. They're going to flip Obama. They're going to give you Hillary. It's going to be like, you know, half man, half woman. You ever see the guy that dances by himself? when he does stage right, he's a man, and when he does stage left, he's a woman. Yeah, unbelievable. They're going to give us Hillary. They're already getting ready to pack us in. Yeah, get on a truck when they call your name. And do not say the M word. Do not say the M word. And But I got to tell you something. There's also an H&W word. You know what the H&W word is? Holy war. And that's what you got. You got a holy war. Right now, 990,000 Al-Qaeda have graduated from a Bin Laden, come to New York, a training school. And by the way, I don't know if you know it or not, but as soon as it was announced that that plane had a fire on board, Mayor of Bloomingdale jumped in his limousine and headed for New Jersey. Yeah, he was up through the sunroof shouting to the other refugees, "Get out of the way! Get out of the way!" Yeah, famous last words by the captain of the Titanic. "We're going to set a world record for speed." And famous last words by Mayor Bloomingdale. "Listen, we have everything under control. We can handle any Al-Qaeda attack." They're all coming here. They're in the hotels already. They're renting apartments. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It only takes 50 machine guns, 50 cabbies. And speaking of cabbies, I don't know if you know it or not, but you know, Larry Davis, before he betrayed Jesus in the men's room, Larry David, you know, the bald-headed guy, he looks like a biology experiment with sperm. Yeah, you know what? He wanted to do, he didn't want to do the Christians first. He wanted to do the Muslims. Yeah, he wanted to do a picture of the Prophet Muhammad. But you know what happened? He jumped into a cab. And he seen his picture right next to Salman Rushdie's hack license, and he changed his mind. So then he was going to do the Jewish people, and he was going to pee on Moses. But during a lunch break, he was gunned down in a Hasidic drive-by, and he was knished to death. Yeah, Larry Davis, David, what a phony. And you know who's his biggest fan? Don Imus. Now here's a guy, you know, Don Imus, to me, is like a murderer who got a reprieve from the governor. And he decided to run against the governor in the next election. Yeah, and Don Imus, yeah, Mr. Liberal, he went and said bad things about black people, and he lost his job. He lost his TV job. All his liberal friends abandoned him. You would think he was doing the agony in the garden. He was abandoned so quickly, it would make your head spin. Even the Marine Corps called up and wanted their bugle back. He had no friends. He had no all his liberal friends, they wouldn't touch him with a ten foot pole. So what does he do? He turns to a liberal ally for help. He calls on Al Sharpton to come save his bacon. And Al Sharpton decided to barbecue spare ribs. Yeah. Liberals never learn. Don Imus, he's knocking Sarah Palin. You know what's going to happen to Don Imus? He's going to wake up one morning and there's going to be a moose head in his bed. He's going to get a Wasilla message. Yeah. Yeah. Don Imus, you better wake up. You better find out who your real friends are. And you better start catering to them and forget this liberal bootlicking. Yeah, and stay away from Maureen Dude from a Newsweek, WEAK magazine. Otherwise, you'll be the next Joan of Arc. It'll be Imus of Arc. Oh, we're coming up on New Year's. This is going to be the year 2010.
I just hope we don't see Al-Qaeda marching through down Broadway. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, we are the luckiest nation on the face of the earth. 9 years after 2001, September the 11th, we have a repeat 9 years later, and they're trying to blame Bush. They're trying to blame Bush. And Cheney said it all. Cheney said that these people don't realize there's a war on, and that's the big problem. Now, had those been 290 dead Americans in a plane that crashed into Detroit and destroyed people on the ground at the same time? Did you ever see the list of the Lockerbie victims? You know, that was a holiday, too. Muslims like to kill you on Christian holidays, or they like to invade your country on Yom Kippur. Yeah, they're very religious. Unbelievable. Well, the list of the Lockerbie victims includes people on the ground. And you know how they listed them? By apartment numbers. How's that? So-and-so was in 3C, so-and-so was in 3B. All those people died. And what did the Brits do? They turned their murderer loose. And they gave us a BS story that the guy only had a few weeks to live. And he was seen in Monaco at the blackjack table last week. Him and Muammar Gaddafi ordering a bevy of babes. Unbelievable. You know what? We gotta hire the mafia to defend the country. We need a wartime consigliere. We need what they call black ops. We gotta go pay these guys a visit. We got to put the fear of God in them. You know who we'll send? We got to send somebody that can do the job, call no attention to herself, and sneak in and sneak out. We're going to send Martha Stewart. And every terrorist village will have a bake-off. Unbelievable. Are we in trouble? Listen, New Year's is coming up. Maybe 2010 is going to be better. I don't think so. This guy Obama is living in another world. He doesn't want to take his Hawaiian shirt off. Yeah, he stole it from a polar bear that was mating with Al Gore. Hey, New Yorkers, you better wake up. You've been sold a bill of goods by these peaceniks who are going to get us all killed. They're not going to be around. They're going to be in Hawaii on vacation when we take the big one. New Yorkers, you better wake up. You don't have one politician going to bat for you. Not one politician in New York State. Not one senator or congress mouse going to bat for you. They're setting you up for another 911. If you don't stand up now and tell these goddamn jerks that we don't want Al-Qaeda in New York, no way. You're going to eat dust. You're going to eat DNA dust once again. You're going to be on the run. These Arabs are coming. There's 900,000 of them have graduated Al-Qaeda killing school. And the only thing that this Obama administration can do is make two lists, two watch lists. All the Arabs that have Rolexes and all the Arabs that have Timexes. We're in trouble. And you're getting no help from our allies overseas. You see what they did in Amsterdam. They let this guy on the plane without a visa. You're not getting any help. Look what England has done. They put Mike Savage on the terrorist list. They're sending over terrorists by the drove with British passports, which gives them an automatic visa. And they have Mike Savage on the terrorist list. You know what I would do to that prime minister in England if I was president? I'd give him 10 minutes to get Mike Savage off that goddamn list, or 100. British noblemen would be going up on the American terrorist watch list. And we'd start with that communist Scotsman, what's his name, Gallagher, the guy that hits all the watermelons with the hammer. That Scots communist who goes and licks the sandals of terrorists. He'd be the first guy. I'd arrest him if he came to the United States. I'd bring him before the Congress in chains. I'd give him a new name. He'd be Vercingetorix. And I'd be Julius Caesar. That guy's mouth is a bomb. He should be he should, the dogs should not only point him out, but they should bite him. And now you see these Muslim terrorists are sticking dynamite where the sun don't shine. It's going to be unbelievable. They can't be allowed to use the bathroom. You got to hang them outside the plane. They should be made to ride on the outside of the plane. Make believe it's an Indian train. Trouble. We're in big trouble. We're all up the fat lady's burka. We're going to be on the run again. America on the run. Make the movie now. Take me back to when we had a country. Drug-free, no divorces. Everybody served the nation.
Yeah. Yeah. One little girl of
days of clean-cut living. Everything was made in the USA. Everything. There was no British invasion. America was drug-free, I'm telling you. You wouldn't believe it. If I took you back, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe how clean the nation was. There was no divorce. The only people that got divorced were Hollywood stars, and they had to go to Mexico. If you got a girl in trouble, there was no pill. A living witness showed up in 9 months to testify against you. Yeah. And the Democrats will tell you that they were back alley abortions, and many girls died with back alley abortions. So what they do now is they only kill the fetus, and they do it in the front office. The back alley is moved to the front office, and they've dressed it up. Everybody wears cap and gowns like it's graduation. If I had my way, every abortion clinic would be a daycare center. And you don't want the kid, you just drop the kid off, we'll take care of it. You don't deserve it. Today, a guy gets a girl in trouble. He don't even give a cab fare to go to the chop shop. The divorce rate is 50% among married people. That doesn't count all the hookups that are walking out on each other. How's that? You know, some people get divorced right after the wedding. I want to get married in the church. I want the one with the big steps. Yeah, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. I'm telling you, you have no idea how much trouble we're in. One out of five Americans is a junkie. We're blaming the Colombians and the Mexicans. It's us. It's us. We're the buyer. We're the one that's creating the market. Don't be blaming peasants in foreign countries. And when Junior gets caught at the airport in Ankara, he demands that George Bush send the 7th Fleet to stop his beheading. Yeah, it looked like the three jerks that got caught up on the Iranian border, the Berkeley College students. What do you think they were up there for? They were up there to antagonize the Iranians. And we're going to go rescue them? They never served their country. Now they want the servants of the nation, the ones who give life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and give up their youth so that the flag can still fly, and these three jerks want to be rescued. You know what I say? Keep them, Iran. And you know what? I'll send you a few more. I got a whole list. It's the terrorist watch list. You want those guys too? We'll start with the Senate. Let's have an American New Year. We'll go back to the glory days of yesteryear, before the EPA sent all our industry to China for money under the table, for jobs. You see how the Senate pays off everybody? Huh? You see that the military appropriations bill? Did you know that Hillary Clinton wanted $100,000 to build a monument to Woodcrap? How's that? What do you need? What kind of monument can you have? An outhouse that's turned over? Huh? That wasn't a skating rink up there. That was feces they were slipping and sliding in. 58,000 real Americans who honored their country's invitation to come serve the nation are up on a wall in D.C. And we got jerks up in Woodcrap saying, "We blocked the thruway, man." Yeah, what a wasted generation. Could have gassed them all, we'd be happy. We never should have had that generation. As soon as they started smoking weed, they should have got the death penalty. Now we got two generations of junkies. One out of five Americans has a drug addiction problem. And it goes all the way up to the top. The richer you are, the more drugs you need. Ask some of the Hollywood actors whose sons are in rehab. They won't tell you about it. But you read about it every so often. Like a Kennedy dying in a dirty hotel in New York. Like Michael Douglas's kid. You see it. It happens every day. Look at Archie Bunker. He couldn't save his one adopted child. Right? And he went after the drug dealer and they nearly put Archie in jail. Drugs is king. Got a wasted generation. And I'm going to tell you something. If you want to know how weak we are, just ask the Arabs, and they'll tell you. And they'll tell you how easy it is to kill Americans. 9 years has passed, and we still have two holes in the ground. What do you think that Arabs say when they tell 911 jokes amongst each other? What do you think they say about the two holes in the ground 9 years later? Do you think that we're the same generation that won World War II? You think that we have our grandfather's grit? I never saw so many people crying about they can't find a job, but they can't get out of bed till 11 o'clock. And in the same ghetto, Mexicans are showing up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and sitting on the stoop or waiting for the truckloads to pick them up to bring them to work. You got 20 million Mexicans in this country that all have jobs. And they tell you that we have 17% unemployment. A Mexican has no problem finding a job. All he's got to do is knock on my door. He's got one. And he'll do a better job than the crybaby that's still in bed at 11 o'clock. who doesn't want to go down to the unemployment office, wants the check mailed direct or put into his account, wire transferred. Yeah, there's no reason to be out of work. I don't care who you are, what you're doing. And never forget, your grandfather sold apples when he didn't have a job. But you can't do that. You're too proud. You'll just take the food stamps that your government is giving you with the hammer and sickle. Comrade, give me something American to cheer me up. This is for the boys in Afghanistan tonight. It's very chilly in Afghanistan. Al Gore should give his global warming speech in the Hindu Kush. Years ago, you stood before God at the altar. You looked at the woman you loved. You took a vow to love, honor, and obey in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, till death do us part. Today, you got you got a penalty box. 7 minutes in the penalty box. You think it's a hockey game. Unbelievable. And then you wonder why we're falling apart as a nation. Give me another shot of Americana.
Remember then.
A little girl is playing in the front yard of her house. She lives down the block from Convention Hall. And she looks up the street and she says, "Mommy, there's Republicans coming down the street." And her mother says, "You better come in the house, dear." And she looks again. She goes, "Oh, no, Mom, dear. Democrats." He says, "You better bring the dog in, too." You know, there have been articles written on Born into Slavery, but you know what? This generation that's coming up has no idea what kind of slavery they're being born into. Tax slavery, drug slavery, morals slavery. Do you know that the major industries that the government is into are all vices? You can call a governor, you can place a bet. Did you know that? Years ago, it was illegal. The mob, they took all the business away from the mob. The new mafia is your government. The only thing they haven't, the only vice that they haven't gotten into yet is prostitution, but they're working hard in the House and the Senate on it. You want to hear how simple life was, how easy life was years ago, and we thought we had it hard. You listen to the words of this song. We go together like two straws in a Coke. Today, you sing that song, everybody thinks you're sucking on white powder. You listen to the words of this song. Why not come over and meet my folks? We go together like castles and kings. Birds of a feather. We're American. Today, we don't know what we are. We're orphans in our own land.
Let's go steady. You are my
The takedown of America didn't happen yesterday. It started a long time ago. Every day, the ACLU chipped away at your liberty. They took a little piece. You didn't notice. And then they took another little piece. You didn't notice. It's like being punched in the face. After a while, you get used to it. And you just take the punches. And that's where we're at today. We're all punchy. It is really sad. I don't know if we can get our country back. It's going to cost us big time. You see the way these senators and congressmen are spending money. They're taking care of the right in front of you, in front of your eyes. They're taking care of each other. They're not taking care of you. They should all be put out. They should be put out of office for good. And you know the sad part about it is they've already done the damage. So when you fire them, they still walk away with their pockets full. You look at this guy from Nebraska who just sold out his entire state, right? He told him he was going to be a stand-up guy, and he crawled around to the back room and got paid off. All right? Now, 61% of the voters in his state want his head. What's he going to do? He's going to lose the next election. But the party of death will take care of him. They'll give him an ambassadorship, or they'll give him a czarship. And he'll be taken care of. He's set for life. You only have to have one term of office to get a pension in the House and the Senate. And I think your wife gets one, too. It's really great. And they don't have the same insurance plan that you have. And speaking of insurance plans, I just heard of a real sad story with a woman, a mother with an 18-month-year-old baby, the doctor ordered a prescription for the baby. And she went to pick it up, and they told her it was $108. And she says, I'm covered by insurance. And they said, the plan that you have, you have to call them. So they call the insurance hostess, and she starts to give the mother a bunch of crap. And she says, I know who you are. You give us a hard time all the time. She says, you got to wait 7 days for approval. We know how to deal with people like you. How's that? Now, that's what it's like under good medical coverage. And I'd hate to tell you that this girl is connected, okay? She's got physicians in the family, all right? And that's the treatment that she gets with a baby in her arms. And you're going to see that more and more. And did you ever notice that all of these companies that really don't want to talk to you, they always select people that don't care to answer the phone? You've seen it day in and day out. Okay? It's really sad, and it's going to get sadder. We got to take our country back. We got to start making things again. We got to go into competition with China. And we can do it. There isn't anything we can't do as Americans if we put our mind to it and our heart and soul. There's nobody that can compete against us when we make up our mind to achieve what we have to achieve. Nobody in the whole world. We're the envy of the whole world. But we've lost that spirit of America. And until we get the spirit of America back, we are going to be just like Europe. We're going to be wasted. This is a tune dedicated to people who are dedicated. In this life, we all start out even. And then what we add to our repertoire makes us or breaks us. And it's time that we became Americans again. I'm going to play you a tune. It's an Elvis tune. And I just want you to think about Elvis. He died in his 50s. Okay? Which means nobody's immune from drugs. He was born at a time when there wasn't that much drugs, okay? And from what I understand, he started taking pills to stay awake on guard duty when he was stationed in Germany in the 3rd Armored Division, okay? But there's a guy, he took his draft notice, and he didn't ask for any preferential treatment. He just went and served his country, like Joe Louis did, okay? And instead, we ended up worshiping heroes that dodged the draft, and now we elect presidents who are draft dodgers. And we are now sending John Kerry to negotiate with the Iranians, John Kerry, who betrayed the United States to the North Vietnamese. Okay, Hanoi John, he's known as. Okay, and now that's what represents the United States. But I'm talking about Elvis. And drugs got to Elvis, and he was consumed eventually, and he died. He lived a short life, and that's what happens to druggies. Most of them die on the toilet. Very few get to be a ripe old age, and they're all targets. If you got money, you're a target. There's a salesman out there that has a drug with your name on it. And it's very hard. The only way to beat drugs, there's only one guaranteed way to beat drugs. And it's a simple simple rule. Don't do the first one. You don't do the first one, you're home free your whole life. You're a free man. You will never be a slave.
Is it yes or is it no? Should I stay and be happy, dear, or should I go? If this is so, I'll be forever loving you. Does your heart beat like mine? Don't you sometimes think that you've had too much wine? If this is so, I'll be forever loving you. When you're near, everything is so sweet. When you're gone, I feel like I'm in need. When you smile, I feel so good. Oh, is it yes or is it no? Should I stay and be happy here or should I go? If this is so, I'll be forever loving you. When you're near, everything is so sweet. When you're gone, I feel like I'm in need. When you smile, I feel so good. Oh, yes, or is it no? Do you love me, dear? Won't you tell me so? If this is so, I'll be forever loving you.
I'm watching a TV commercial for Saving the Kids, and the woman who was responsible for Roe versus Wade, the decision that was made in 1973 by the Supreme Court to kill kids, has now recanted the fact that she wanted to get rid of her children. And it turns out she never had an abortion, I don't think. This is what she said. She's got three daughters, okay, and she's glad she never had an abortion. But her case was a landmark case, and since 1973, as she said, 50 million American babies have been cut to pieces. Now, you think about that, 50 million American babies. Do you know that Stalin only killed 30 million? Hitler only killed 30 million? Mao Zedong only killed maybe 30 to 50 million, and we've beat their record just with our own children alone. Does that make sense to you? Why is it that it's a hard and fast rule that the baby must die? You mean there's no alternative to child murder? You mean we've got rehab units for drug addicts, but we can't save tissue? As they're classified by the Rasputins of the world, the Dr. Joseph Mengeles, who were making money cutting up the gene pool.
I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way. I believe above the storm, the smallest prayer will still be heard. I believe that someone in the great somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or see the sky, then I know why I believe. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or see the sky,
you think on that flight over Detroit, as soon as that fire broke out, that somebody on that plane shot a prayer to God that got heard? Huh? Do you know those people were more lucky than the people that landed in the Hudson River? The odds of them not surviving were probably a 2-to-1. You think about that.
Together, all love, we'll
Hang in there, boys and girls. We will catch part two. Here we go.
Hey, how's it going? How you doing? That's a typical New York greeting. How you doing? As a matter of fact, you know what? When they dropped that 500-pound bomb on Zarqawi in Iraq, and he had a few minutes of a life left on a stretcher, the first American he saw leaned over and said, "Hey, how you doing?"
Yeah.
You know what? The luckiest...
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America party. I opened up this morning with news that Rush Limbaugh had a heart attack in Hawaii. Got to stay out of Hawaii, guys. Every time somebody goes to Hawaii, a tragedy breaks out. Let's say a little prayer for Rush and hope he gets well soon. And Rush, you got to lay off the hors d'oeuvres. It's rough. It's rough. A heart attack is not fun. And man, you better hope you got the best doctors hanging around during the holidays. How's that? You know what your chances are? And if you think your chances are not that good now, you want to see what your chances are going to be like when the Democrats are at the operating table. They'll be removing your heart and your wallet. So let us continue with good music. We're going to celebrate New Year's. And the luckiest people in the world, I'm going to say it again, are the people that were on that flight going into Detroit, that they didn't end up going into Detroit. So God was with them. Somebody shot a prayer to the Lord on that plane, and it got heard. And so... when you look at the Hudson River episode and you look at the Detroit episode, you know God is listening. And, of course, if you're an atheist, don't worry about it because you're going nowhere. You're going nowhere. You're going to be in that black hole. That's where all the atheists are. They're in the black hole in outer space. Going, "Mom, is that you?" Yeah. The one thing that is really disgusting me, and again, I caught Imus this morning, and he's convincing everybody that not all Muslims are terrorists. And he compared the terrorist to just rogue postal workers. Give me a break, guys. Give me a break. If you open up the Jihad playbook, it's called the Quran, and the HW word is in there, holy war. And we're in a holy war, and if you don't get the message, you're going to have your throat cut. We're in a holy war. It's a religious war. And the Islamic religion is not a religion of peace. Don't buy it. The Israelis don't buy it. Every time a Katusha rocket goes off, they shout Allahu Akbar. Every time a plane goes into a building in New York, they shout Allahu Akbar. It's a religious war. Get the message before you die. It's a holy war. And I'll tell you another thing. I don't want to see Major Muslim Hassan in his American military uniform as being portrayed as a little boy blue. I want to see Major Muslim Hassan in the uniform that he used to gun down 30 Americans. I want to see him in his Allahu Akbar underwear. And don't forget that this guy was also trained in Yemen by the same imam, who, by the way, imams get 20% of all booty taken in conquest. So you got a partner in your 401k. You just don't know it. Besides the government. See, the government gets 80 and then the imam gets 20. So let me brighten up your day. I promised you Elvis. I'm going to give you a good Elvis tune, and we'll start off New Year's festivities. And thank God that there was only one terrorist on one plane and the rest have yet to come. And may their flights get canceled before they cancel your flight. Already people are talking about two boarding checkpoints. One for all other people and one for Muslims. Did you know that? You know, all we got to do is take about, lose 100,000 and all bets are off. And they'll not only be killing the M word, they'll be killing the L word, liberals and Muslims. And if I was a Muslim in the United States today, I'd be looking to convert to Christianity. At least you won't have to celebrate the Beat Your Wife Week. Remember when Ahmadinejad said there are no homosexuals in Iran? That was easy for him to say. He was in Columbia University. Let me take you back to an America that was in charge of its own of future.
Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you.
Let's open up 2010 a drug-free and with the spirit of America, that little flame in that small candle, let it ignite and spread throughout the land. Let's bring back the Holy Spirit of America. You want to hear a nice, fat, harmonious sound? Here's the four freshmen. These guys all play trombones. Today, you spend $200, you go to a concert, and a dirty-looking guy comes out with an electric guitar with two pieces of toast in the frets, and he ignites the stage. You think he was a Muslim terrorist on a plane, and then they throw him off the stage, and the crowd passes him around. And this is what we have today, and that's why I say guns don't kill people, electric guitar players do. Isn't it time we got rid of guitars and we welcome back all the other musical instruments?
Day by day, I'm falling more in love with you. And day by day, my love seems to grow.
Devotion.
It's deeper, dear, by far than any ocean. I find that day by day, you're making
making all my dreams come true. So come what may, I want you to know I'm yours alone, and I'm in love to stay as we go through the years, day by day.
Like that? Did you like that? You probably didn't like it. No, you're probably two-thumbing. You're two-thumbing and texting as you drive up the wrong lane in the highway. Okay, we're going to give you another tune, and should we go Latin? You know, there's some great Latin music, or would you like to have a big band sound? Something to dance to? You know who the big bands went out when rock and roll came in? The World War II people had big bands. I mean, a 30-piece orchestra was nothing. And they always had a chanteuse, a girl that could sing. Now they bring out six belly dancers, and they go, ooh, ah, and they get Academy Awards. Let me give you a big band sound, and then we'll sneak in a Latin tune.
What good is melody if it ain't possessing something sweet? It ain't the music, it ain't the melody. There's something else that makes that tune complete. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. It don't mean a thing, all you gotta do is sing. I do what, 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 do what. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hard. You just give that rhythm everything you've got. Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hard. You just get that rhythm, everything you've got. Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. I do what, 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 do what. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
Two detectives on a stakeout. It's more like a burger wrap. They're watching McDonald's, and a little fat kid comes out. Okay. Hey, you, little kid, get up against the wall. Toss him, Joe. Spread your legs. You got him? Yeah, we got him. Did you get him with the goods? Yeah, we got him. What's he got? He's got two cheeseburgers and a fries. Okay. Book him. Read him his merengue rights.
Para aquellos que se quejan tanto. mundo, para aquellos que solo critican, para aquellos que usan las armas, para aquellos que nos contaminan, para aquellos que hacen la guerra, para aquellos que viven pecando, para aquellos que nos maltratan, para aquellos que nos contagian.
Want to lose weight, take out the Latin dancing. All you need are two lessons, salsa and merengue, and guaranteed you'll drop 10 pounds in a night. You can eat twice as much. Political correctness is a form of brainwashing, okay? And don't let anybody PC you. It's a form of brainwashing. If they give you one shot of political correctness, you got to take the antidote. You got to take a shot of Spirit of America and get those spirits going and keep them alive. And never forget that you are not a European. We left Europe because we didn't like the way they went doing things. And we struck out on our own. And whether you came here in planes, trains, or in chains, we are all the same. We're American. And the sooner we realize that we have to stick together or we will all hang separately, as Ben Franklin once said, then we will once again be a nation. And then we can play that Irish song, A Nation Once Again. When freedom's fire was in my blood, I dreamt of ancient freemen, of Greece and Rome, who bravely stood, 300 brave and free men. And that's what we got to be. We got to be the Spartans of America. And never forget that the Spartans were betrayed by a Spartan. And it happens every day. Jesus sat down to the Last Supper with 12 apostles. One out of 12 betrayed him. So what's that percentage? 12%? 8%? Yep, so 8% of the country betrays it. That's why you have people turning up on the Iranian border, taunting the Iranians for press. Okay? That's why you've got people slipping out of the United States to go for Al-Qaeda training in Afghanistan or Yemen. And listen, if you leave this country, stay out, don't come back, and you know what? We'll ship your parents over with you. because they failed also. What happened to the law of the Holy Quran that says you defend the country that feeds your family? That feeds and protects your family.
Como um bom bocado pra te devorar, como um brigadeiro pra te lambuzar. Põe a mão no bolo pra comemorar,
pra te comemorar, pra te comemorar.
Dança o miudinho pra te conquistar. O violento toca e se toca, de olho no chifre da morena. Aqui zoeira, que festa de arromba. Põe essa galera pra samba.
Well, I'll be seeing you lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay, I'll always think of you that way.
Seeing you and all your old familiar faces, that's this heart of mine embraces all day through. In that small cafe, the park across the way, the chill grins carousel, the chestnut tree. Oh, wish well, I'll be seeing you. In every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay, and I'll always think of you that way, and I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new,
I'll be looking at the moon,
I'll be looking at the stars.
Boys and Girls as Captain Boycott. You know, what was a sad ending for a comedian was the death of Richard Jenny. I never saw a guy whisked away so quickly. Nobody lamented his passing. Nobody had paid a tribute to him. Nobody had any kind words for his demise. And you know, it's sad when you see a guy who's had a great sense of humor and he's a tortured soul. And you wonder sometimes what really goes on in the minds of men. Like the theme from The Shadow, who knows what evil lurks in the minds of men. But apparently Richard was up against it, and nobody seen the signs, or I don't know. But I enjoyed Richard Jenny. He sort of stayed on the decent side of comedy. Not like today where they got pigs in a blanket. And he stayed away from issues that hurt people's feelings. So I liked Richard Jenny. And I hope that he's in that big pavilion in the sky and telling jokes and keeping the angels laughing. I liked his bit when he did the Martha Stewart routine. She's out there somewhere and he was guarding his house. And he sent his dog out he sent his dog out to protect him, and the dog came back with a knitted sweater on. He was very creative. He once talked about Dr. Ruth, and he described her sex appeal, and he was very funny. He also talked about watching watching Jaws in his hotel room. And, you know, how many different sequels there were and how ridiculous they were getting. He was very creative, and he's going to be missed. And I'll tell you another guy who's good, and I forgot his name already. And they sort of gave him a show. I think his name was Brian something. And he is good. He is also fairly clean, fairly decent. And they gave him a show, and it was... I don't know what happened. It sort of died on the vine, but his opening night was great. But I got a feeling that these comedians like Jenny, and I think this guy's name was Brian something. He had an Irish last name, I think. They're not dirty enough or perverted enough to cater to purient interests. And they don't knock their God, and they don't knock their country. And that's why they sort of get the silence of the lambs. But, so I think of Richard Jenny and this fella who, one of his skits was that he was in high school, and he didn't do his biology assignment, and on the way in to the classroom, on the way into the school building, he had his coffee cup, and he scooped up the dirt and from a planter, and he went in, and he was given the gold star in agriculture, and he was pretty good. They knew how to play on words, and a guy had a play on words that came to see me the other day, and he was complaining about his marriage, and he was really he was talking about and he's married about at least 10 years, and he said he would never again marry, and I'm not going to tell you what nationality he was. He would never again marry a woman of the same nationality as he was, He said he would only marry a farm girl. If he ever did it again, he would marry a farm girl. So, and then, now this guy's in his 40s, and he turned around to a young fella, and he said, you guys are screwed. He said, you guys have nothing. You don't even have music. At least we had music. But he was talking about connubial rights and how they were preempted by that event that takes place with women once a month. And he called it a minstrel cycle. So while he's talking about, he says, they have a minstrel cycle 1 week before the minstrel show, and then 2 weeks thereafter. So he says, you know how lucky I'm getting. And so in sympathy tonight, and in sympathy for women too, because that's not a wholesome event, and it is painful, and it's Mother Nature. That's where I was thinking of Richard Jenny, because he did a routine about a woman's menstrual cycle, and he used a mob figure as the menstrual cycle, and he said, you know who I am, you know I'm going to be back next month. You better have a kid. If you don't have a kid, I'll be back. So, I decided that I would dedicate this minstrel cycle tune to my friend who is love lost, and to the comedians who are decent. And so I'm going to give you a little minstrel cycle music. And this is for the ladies to soothe the savage beast.
Thank you.
How you doing? And it also makes good labor room music. If you want to be with your wife and accompany a childbirth, you could always bring in a 30-piece orchestra.
The maid's gone all cranky and the coat's acting queer. Well, a terrible place is a pub with no beer. The stockman rides up with his dry, dusty throat. He breasts up to the bar, pulls a wad from his coat. Puts a smile on his face, quickly touches him a sneer. When the barman says suddenly, the pub got no beer. There's a dog on the veranda, for his master he waits. But the boss is inside, drinking wine with his mates. He hurries for cover, and he cringes in fear. There's no place for a dog, round a pub with no beer. First time in his life has gone home cold sober to his darling wife. He walks in the kitchen to say to Lady B dear. Then he breaks down and he tells her that the pub's got no beer. Oh, it's lonesome away from your kindred and all, by the campfire at night where the wild dingoes call. But there's nothing so to stand in the bar of a pub in no beer.
Do you know what a terrorism is to an Irishman? A pub with no beer. Revenge song.
I've been away from you a long time. I never thought I'd miss you so. Somehow I feel your love is real. Near you I want to be. The birds are singing, it is song time. The banjo's drumming soft and low. I know that you yearn for me too. Swanee, you're calling me. Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. I'd give the world to be among the folks in CIXI, even though my mammy's waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore. I love the old folks at home. Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. I give the world to be among the folks in CIXI, even though my mammy waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore.
Here's a tune you won't hear sung in the House or the Senate.
Search for tenderness, it isn't hard to find. You can have the love you need to live. But if you look for truthfulness, you might just as well be blind. It always seems to be so hard to give. If I wear my heart out on my sleeve, but I don't want some pretty face to tell me pretty lies. All I want is someone to believe. Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so while I'm gone. When I want sincerity, tell me where else can I turn? 'Cause you're the one that I depend upon. Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue.
Here's a tune cut from a Dizzy Gillespie album. It's Brazilian.
Well, the time has come for me to tell you the story of this song. Also about the composer of this song. His name is Moacir Santos. Once I asked Moacir, how did you get inspired to write the song? And he told me, I was meditating by the sea when I saw a vision. And he proceeded to ask me, have you seen Nana? Have you seen Nana?
And love.
Love for you.